Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
David Carey joins us once again. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Are you a fan of the old craft beers and all that kind of stuff?
I kind of stick to the usual. I'm not all that adventurous. I'm not a big drinker, so I won't mention the brands, but the typical ones that are on tap. Don't try the new stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, change is bad, generally speaking. Oh, you get to an age where you can just say, change is awful.
Change my socks once in a while, but beyond that.
Whether you need to or not. Absolutely, that's pernickety that way. Right, first question. My daughter is 9 and keeps telling me how she never gets to do what her friends do. She tells me endlessly how her friends always go to the cinema bowling, how they get €20 a week in pocket money. She gives out about how unfair it is she never gets any of this. I'm a single mother. I work in an office and make enough to pay our rent bills and our school costs. I've no disposable income. I have explained until I'm blue in the face that they are very lucky to have that, and we need to be grateful for what we have. I try to compensate with movie nights in. I let her have her friends over a lot and we go for drives and get out of the house, but there is just no way I can match what her friends have. I have an incredible mom guilt as a result, and I feel that her circumstances will mean that she will stand out and be picked on. I need help on what to say to her and how to make her understand.
Gosh, this is a common problem that a lot of parents have, particularly single parents, be they male or female, working and struggling to pay the bills and with very little access to some of the pleasures of life that lots of other people have. Daughter 9, of course she wants what everyone else wants. That's only natural. She's not being a bad or naughty little girl. She's just being a 9-year-old. I would like you to give up the guilt insofar as possible. It's obvious you're a very good mom. You have contacted the show to talk about this. You do the best you can do, and you explain to her that you're doing the best you can do, and you only need to say it once. Avoid lengthy conversations. You're telling us that you're explaining to her till you're blue in the face. Time to take a big breath and oxygenate your brain, because you don't need to explain till you're blue in the face. You really need to say it once and continue doing the things you're doing. Do understand that at age 9, she wants what all her friends have. Will she be singled out? Probably unlikely. Now, I don't know. If she goes to a national school where there's a uniform, you're eliminating one big problem of designer gear, dress. Then it comes down to runners and stuff like that. But shouldn't be a huge problem. This is an issue that rears its ugly head at secondary school often, Sean. You probably know kids that go to the posh secondary schools, and some of their parents struggle very hard to keep them there, but their mates are off to Biarritz for skiing and Malaga, etc. They want to go too, and you can't. And it's very hard to compete with that. But I want to say to parents that being a parent is not a competition. You do not have to do what the others are doing. €20 a week for a 9-year-old is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
And there's a lot of parents buying children all kinds of things and that they don't need, and not giving them the one thing that they do need. Structure, limits, nurturing, support, affection, attention, and guidance. That's what children need. They don't need anything else. They don't need the best designer gear. And I think you need to hold your head up high, Mom, and be proud of what you're doing. You're maintaining a family home for your 9-year-old. You're a hero.
Yeah.
A genuine hero in our society. And you be proud of that. And you tell your little daughter, you get down right to eye level and you hold her and you say, I love you to bits and I'm doing everything I can for you. And guess what, honey? I am so proud that I'm the kind of mommy that I am. And then you smile, give her a kiss and walk away.
Also as well, kids tend to say, when they say everybody gets €20 a week, that probably means she knows one person gets €20 a week and no one else does. But, they're going to set the bar high in terms of trying to guilt you.
I haven't met a 9-year-old that gets €20 a week. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen out there. There could be. But don't fall into that trap, because that's very true. And every other 9-year-old isn't wearing the best gear or going skiing in the winter or being out to the movie show every weekend with mommy or daddy or their friends, or bopping on down to Dundrum Shopping Center with their 20 euro plus in their pocket. That's not happening as much as your daughter wants you to think is
happening. You're always made to feel that way, of course.
The guilt works both ways.
Yeah.
We get it from our parents, and then the children give it back to us. So it's a circle.
A guilt sandwich, delicious. My five-year-old has started asking about where babies come from, and my husband and I are at odds at what to say to her. I want to take the honest approach and give her the correct anatomical names for body parts, but he thinks it's better to keep it vague. Yesterday she asked how mummy have babies. I answered that ladies have a small hole which becomes very big and they push it out. Or if they can't do that, the doctor will help and cut her tummy open and lift the baby out. My husband totally disagreed and said that I went into too much detail. Is there a right or a wrong way?
For God's sakes, husband, will you grow up? It's called a penis, it's called a vagina, and that's the end of that. There's no child who's too young to learn the correct anatomical names for their body parts, whatever body parts we're talking about, particularly the reproductive organs. No five-year-old is going to be harmed by getting accurate, developmentally appropriate information. They're going to hear it in school, by the way,
absolutely.
Mr. Husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to shelter this five-year-old for the next 6 years of his life. From the basic fact, and if they don't hear it in the classroom, you can be darn sure they're going to hear it in the schoolyard and elsewhere, and a lot of misinformation. I'd be concerned about the kind of information, Mom, that you told the child, because it is a little confusing, a hole where you push the baby out or sometimes the doctor cuts it out. That can raise a lot of anxiety. It's very ambiguous. There are books for children. I'm sure our listeners will text in numerous children's books that talk about these things. You need to sit down with your hubby here and let him know that he's got a bit of growing up to do, that we can use the names of human anatomy to five-year-old children.
It's amazing, actually, sometimes how squeamish parents are about saying those things to their kids.
I can tell you from experience, when I used to lecture in the College of Education, first and second year, now these are people training to be primary school teachers. If you mentioned in the lecture hall the word penis or vagina, the giggles, the twitters, the snickering amongst many, not just some, but many, was appalling how sheltered so many children are from the basic realities of human anatomy. These are important things to know.
Yeah.
Throughout the lifespan, by the way, you need to know how your body grows and changes. You need to know the name of its parts and how it works. You need to know, particularly when it comes to human reproduction and the sexual organs and whatnot, how they change across the lifespan, so you can understand these things and not be confused and thinking when you're well advanced in years that there's something terribly wrong with you because things don't work exactly the way they did when you were 20. This is a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
And it starts young. Your child is asking questions. Please answer as best you can using the correct terminology and get a hold of some good books. There are so many. Get yourself to the library. Talk to the librarian in the children's room. He or she will direct you to the best literature that they believe is appropriate for your average expected five-year-old. You can't go wrong going down that road.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the bookshop and buy a book.
Yeah, my kids all read a book called Mommy Laid an Egg, which even by its very title sounds confusing and misleading.
Yes.
But it's a kind of a cartoon book and it's absolutely lovely and everyone's got big smiley faces on it and it explains what happens. The entire process, actually.
Great. Mommy Lays an Egg, it's called.
Mommy Laid an Egg. Yeah, and everyone's like, you know, even there's that kind of bedroom scene where mommy and daddy are like big smiley faces bouncing around the bed. It's absolutely adorable.
Oh, that's lovely.
Going back to that first question.
I want to read that book myself now.
Going back to the nine-year-old who's, you know, guilting mom a bit. The kid will forget by the following week that she didn't go bowling or wherever. She's only focusing on the now, so don't even stress about it. I'm the grown-up daughter of a single mom who didn't have what my friends had and it was crap. But I've kids now and I'm amazed and so proud of what my mom achieved for us. Don't worry about what you can't give your daughter. And someone else says, that mom sounds like she's doing a great job. No need for mom guilt.
Absolutely.
Indeed not.
And if that second person who texted in, who's saying they're so proud of what their mom achieved, please tell her. God, yes. God willing, yes. She's still alive. You need to tell her that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's important.
Yeah, you really don't appreciate your own parents until you become one yourself.
Is that true?
Yeah, you also will get an appreciation.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Now, what a pain in the ass as a kid you were as well.
That's even truer.
I've been married to my husband for 10 years, but we've agreed to split up. But when we told our two children, who are 6 and 9, that Mammy and Daddy are not going to live together anymore, they were very upset. It was so bad that we ended up postponing my husband moving out of the house until the end of the year. The kids now seem to be very aware of everything myself and my husband do together. And any time Daddy leaves home without Mammy to even go to the shops, they ask where he's going and if he's coming back. And anytime it looks like myself and Daddy are getting on together, their faces light up. The marriage is not going to work. They are getting so many mixed signals. What should we do?
You made a little mistake here. You shouldn't have postponed the separation. Now the children are living like you in an atmosphere that's somewhat toxic, filled with tension, filled with some guilt. Mm-hmm. Filled with perhaps some animosity and anger, two parents not getting along. Children pick this up. You can be sure it's in the air they breathe, and they are infused with it at the cellular level. It causes them to feel anxious and upset. You and husband really need to sit down now and put emotion aside if you can and recognize what's best for the children. The research is abundantly clear, by the way, Sean. We've discussed this before. Parents who stay together, quote, for the sake of the children, end quote, and who have an acrimonious and unpleasant relationship have damaged children. Mm. Now, when school starts, there are programs in our primary schools called Rainbows. And these are programs that are part of the school day, offered by outside professional people who have been fully trained, and they help children from separated, divorced, or separating families understand what's going on. So okay. I would strongly encourage you, when school commences again, ring up principal, see if they have the Rainbows program on, put your children's names forward for it. The children will calm down, inevitably, once you make a decision and do what's right. Mm. You can't keep living this way. It's not good for you, not good for your husband. And since the children come first, we worry about them more than the wife and husband. So let's do what's right. It's a horrible situation. It hurts. It's painful. It doesn't go away quickly. But remember, the children come first, and you have to do what's right for them.
Mm. I suppose it might be useful to have a plan in place.
Yes.
Where you're able to say, okay, Daddy's moving out, but you're going to see him tomorrow morning, or, you know, you're going to see him, you know, those kind of things. So they'll know that you're, as much as possible, your lives in terms of your interactions with us will not change.
Yes. This is where frank communication between the two parties, the two adults, is so important. If you can agree a reasonable access plan for the non-custodial parent, and the non-custodial parent, in this case it's the husband, it isn't always that way, has to look deep inside themselves and ask, can I actually follow through on this plan? Whatever it might be. There are so many permutations of what these plans can be. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of possible ways to engage with it. But you have to really decide, can I do it? Can I follow through on it? If you've agreed that, then you explain to the children and you follow through on it. But if it gets horrible and you can't even agree on when and where and how, then the thing to do is to seek mediation. We have mediation services that are free here when both parties are reasonable and will agree to a mediated plan. And that's the way forward. But the best way always is to try to be an adult. And remember, we have to look after these children. We brought them into this world. We both love them. Okay, we can't get on anymore. We can't live together. But that does not mean that you can't be good parents. Yeah. Very good parents, in fact.
Mm.
And the world is filled with an abundance of children who have separated parents, but very loving, decent, and tender relationships with both. so long as the two adults don't start poisoning the children with venom about their partner.
Yeah.
Indeed. Avoid that at all costs.
Right, we do have to take a commercial break. After that, we have a question about how do you tell an 11-year-old child that their sibling is gay? 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. A few comments on some of the things that we've been talking about with David Carey on the subject of the 9-year-old who thinks she's hard done by because she's not doing as well as her friends appear to be doing in terms of pocket money, etc. The kid will forget by the following week that she didn't go bowling or whatever. She's only 4, that one already. On the subject of divorce, one texter says, I'm now 39 years old. My parents wanted to get divorced when I was 10. Of course, I put up a huge fuss and they ended up staying together until I left for college at 18. It was the worst decision they could have made. My life from the year of 10 years old to 18 was a nightmare. Their relationship was incredibly toxic and angry, and this spilled over onto me, of course. The parents need to treat it like a bandage and just rip it off.
Mm.
Yeah.
From the horse's mouth there.
Yeah.
And the damage that accrues from living a lie.
And Helena says, on the subject of what do you tell kiddies where babies come from, she says, when we asked an older aunt how babies were born, she said, it comes out the way it went in. Well, that prompts a number of other questions as well, I would have thought. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm speechless.
My eldest daughter is 22 and has recently come out to us as gay. Everything is fine, but she wants to tell our youngest, who's 11. I don't see a problem with this, but my husband thinks it is too young and won't allow it. He very rarely puts his foot down, but this has become a huge issue. Is 11 years too young to be told about these things? I mean, it's on TV and social media, so she's probably more aware of it than we were, to be fair. Should I tell her myself on the quiet?
What is it with some of these men?
You know, the weird thing is there was the dad, yeah.
Yeah. What is going on? Grow up, men, for God's sakes. Your 11-year-old son is perfectly au fait with the notion of homosexuality, gayness, etc., etc. Hopefully, you've reared him in a home without prejudice and without animosity towards people whose lifestyles or racial and religious beliefs are different from yours. And if you've done that, you have done everything right. Tell the truth. I mean, it won't mean a fig to this young fellow, I'd wager.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. It's no big deal anymore. How brave of your 22-year-old daughter, 22 years is a long time to live a life in the closet. I mean, I have a couple of gay friends, and they have all told me the most difficult thing is coming out. That's the hardest part. But once you do it, you're free finally, and you can be who you really are. And the vast majority of people in this country to this day will accept it. Yes, there's a small minority that struggle with it. I wonder if your husband isn't having some issues with the fact that the daughter is gay. And that's why he's trying to shelter the 11-year-old.
Yeah, perhaps.
No, I don't know. And I don't want to point fingers at the husband, but this is two men in the same half
hour.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's there's probably not enough there to kind of infer a pattern here. But
Well, I don't think we'd be too far wrong in doing that, but let's not.
Yeah. No, the thing is, like, you're absolutely right. The 11-year-old will be completely aware of people who are gay, people who are lesbian. And not only that, it's because it's so kind of part of their normal culture now. Might even be a bit cool to have a gay sister.
So very interesting. Yeah, so I never thought of it that way.
It's like it's not going to be a problem.
It's not going to. Well, it certainly is a problem for hubby.
Unless they live in an Amish community or something of that nature that they haven't included that kind of detail, which probably would make a difference. But all things else being equal.
Well, I don't think they live in that kind of community.
Yes.
Hopefully.
My 7-year-old has just started wearing glasses and the other kids have started making fun of them. He's the only one of his friends that needs to wear them, and now he's very upset that he's different and refuses to keep them on. I'm very worried because they are corrective for a weak muscle in his eyes and don't want to see him developing permanent problems because of these kids.
Oh God, I can identify with this so much. I've been wearing glasses since I was 5, So they're so much a part of my face that if I don't have them on, not only can't I see, but my whole face feels strange.
And people don't recognize you, probably don't have them on. Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. In addition to which, when I was 7, I had to wear a patch over one eye to strengthen the lazy eye. It does nothing, by the way. But so to make me look more freakish, you know? Most kids won't go down the road of making nasty comments. I wager, I could be wrong, but the 7-year-old isn't going to be the only young fellow in the classroom with eyeglasses. And a lot of this comes down to teacher to explain what fair is. Fair, F-A-I-R, is when we treat everybody according to what they need, so that some people need to wear glasses. We don't make everybody wear glasses because some people do, and we don't prevent some people from wearing glasses because most people don't need them. That's what fair is. We treat everybody equally. Honey, you need to wear eyeglasses, and hold your head up high. Be proud of them. Should anything be said that's unpleasant, come home, tell teacher, tell mom, or tell dad if it's happening in on the street or outside of school, and we'll deal with it. And don't fill yourself up with anxiety. He's a little bit concerned about it. 7, you know, it's kind of old to have the old glasses thrown on you.
Yeah.
So, but once he gets out there and realizes that bad things aren't happening often, he'll be fine with them.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it probably is. It's a little young. I think if maybe even a few years older, it's less. Because I think I would have got the impression of wearing glasses is less of a thing now because they're kind of hip and they're seen as fashion as much as anything else. But I suppose when you're 7, you want to roll around.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back on my own primary school teaching career. And I can't recall any incident. I worked in a very, very rough, like the blackboard jungle kind of school. It was a nightmare. But I can't remember one incident of a child being bullied for wearing glasses. There was a lot of bullying for a whole bunch of other things, but never for eyeglasses.
Yeah.
So it's just so common now. Try to reassure your young fellow, and I think he'll be okay.
Yeah.
I hope so, anyway.
Finally, someone texted in to say, I'm a big fan of the parenting slot, even though I have no children. My wife and I have been trying for years. After some failed IVF cycles, we're finally pregnant.
Yay!
I can't wait to have a problem so I can text the show. says the text. Says, there you go. Can't beat a bit of repeat business for this particular
slot. Sean, that's the kind of stuff that keeps us on the air.
Indeed it does. David, thanks a million for coming into us. David Carey there.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas